This is URN Sport.
Hubbard puts up a three-point shot, and he nails it!
Super Wednesday is ours.
And it's in! Fantastic!
All 33,000 students at the University of Nottingham, they know what this means.
This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome to URN Sport. I am joined by Jack, Chris and Arvi on your Tuesday sports show today.
Basically, the Paris Masters has just gone underway and is the final tournament of the year before the big finale in London for the Barclays AP finals, ATP finals, I should say, sorry. So Novak Djokovic is going into the tournament knowing that if he reaches the final, he will maintain his status as number one in the world. However, if he fails to do that, Andy Murray can overtake him if the Scot wins the tournament overall, or if Murray reaches the final and Djokovic falls before the semi-finals. And it's really interesting how it's worked out. So Djokovic had a massive lead over Murray before Wimbledon, and suddenly that lead has gone more narrow and more narrow and more narrow. So given that situation, he's now 415 points behind Djokovic, 1,000 points on offer for the winner in Paris. And if the situation or the scenario goes right for Murray, he could actually end the year as world's number one, which is really, really exciting news for British tennis on the whole.
It will be hard for him because he will have to reach the final to get to number one. And Murray has won 52 out of the last 56 games.
Yeah, exactly right.
So Murray's the man in form. Jack, what do you think of Murray's season this year?
I mean, he's had strong but mixed in various stages. For example, I feel like his movement's been quite mixed this season. So he's sort of started off at the same sort of a level as Djokovic. And obviously with Djokovic decreasing in form, I feel like he's had maybe a increase in like confidence from that. And then I think you can really see it through in his game, in terms of movement especially.
But I'd like to first focus on Djokovic. He's obviously not had a great season since he's won the French Open. It's been curtailed by quite a lot of injury. Do you reckon he can keep his number one spot this year?
I think, well, he is the heavy favourite to go into the Paris Masters. So it's one that he's won. I believe it's 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years in the last. Yeah. He's won it for the past 3 years in a row now. But Murray is the player on form, definitely, 100%. So he's won 52 of his past 56 games. He's already secured his seventh title of the year in Vienna. Not a month ago, sorry. So he's won Shanghai. He's now won Vienna. He beat really good competition, actually, to the final as well. So he beat John Isner, beat John Wilfried Tsonga in the final in straight sets. Murray's definitely the in-form player, but it's historically Djokovic is to win.
Just one player who won't be entering 2017 in great form is Nick Kyrgios, who was banned earlier this month and fined $250,000 even by the ATP for poor behavior on court. He almost gave away a match in the Shanghai Open.
He
walked off before the serve even landed, and he sort of almost gave up. But news came out this week that his ban could be cut from 8 weeks to 3 weeks after agreeing a care plan, which includes consulting a sports psychologist. So firstly, what do you make of his attitude on court? Obviously, a lot has been made of that since he started breaking through into the professional tennis.
I'm going to say something a bit controversial. I'm actually a big fan of Nick Kyrgios.
I
really like a personality in sport, and I think he's obviously one of the biggest personalities in tennis currently. Whether he takes it too far is probably a different question, because there's having personality and there's being a bit of a John McEnroe, and there's throwing matches, you know, that people have obviously paid to see and watch on TV at home.
So Jack, you covered the F1 for us this week. Is it too late?
Oof, that's a tough question. So the Grand Prix took place in Mexico over the weekend. I think it was over Day of the Dead. Could have been the day that Hamilton's sort of title hopes died, in a way, because if he hadn't of come first, or if he hadn't of got enough points Rosberg could have actually won the Grand Prix as in the whole season. So Hamilton did have to do a lot, and he still does. He came first in the race. It was quite a boring race. Rosberg coming second, And as expected, so he led from the start to finish. Rosberg doing exactly the same, just playing it safe. Because essentially, Rosberg can't afford to crash out. Hamilton, on points, can win the titles, but he'd have to win every single... There's two races remaining. He'd have to win every single race, and Rosberg would have to come third in one of them. And currently, can we see him doing that?
The thing is, for Nico Rosberg, we have to be honest, the task is straightforward. It does not require him adding to his 9 victories this season. So I think, even though I feel, to some extent, Nico Rosberg would be having much more pressure than Lewis Hamilton because it's his first... He's almost won the title. But if somehow Hamilton keeps pushing and keeps winning like he did, I think Rosberg might as well not...
They are putting everything on the line, but obviously currently it's in Rosberg's hands. And do you think he's driving a bit more cautiously or safer than he normally would, just to make sure he finishes second and he doesn't fall out of the top three or have to retire?
Well, as was previously said, there's a lot of pressure on him. And although he just has to finish second in both races, it also means you can't crash out in either race, because as soon as he crashes out, that's game over for either of them, for Hamilton or Rosberg. But yeah, as was previously pointed out, it is his first title, so maybe that puts that extra bit of pressure onto him. Well, as we heard in the clip, he has been driving like unbelievably recently, and that's what he needs to do to beat Rosberg, because if he doesn't win the next two races, he essentially has no hope. Because it's a big ask to ask Rosberg to finish third in one of the next two races.
Yeah, something dramatic would have to happen for Rosberg to finish outside the top three. Rosberg just has to finish the races in the top three to obviously win the championship.
He has to come second in the next two races, yeah.
And obviously, I can't see him not finishing out the top two. But Chris, do you think... Hamilton's been let down by his team this year with the car failures early in the year.
It's weird, isn't it? Because we're so used to, apart from the last few years, we're so used to seeing like things like Schumacher versus, I don't know, like Hakkinen.
Alonso
versus someone else. But they're from different teams. They're from the same team, which is really bizarre.
That's so,
which is why it's so interesting, yeah. It's really odd, isn't it? Because Hamilton's effectively got the same... Well, he has got the same car as Rosberg, but for some reason...
They swapped engine teams at the start of the year.
Oh, did they? Yeah. Oh, right, okay. But it's weird how Hamilton always seems to have like these problems with the car. I'm not saying it's like a big conspiracy or anything
like
that.
Well, he did raise that question, Hamilton. Yeah, he did offer that conspiracy out there that it's not a shock.
I can't see it being a conspiracy, but you never know.
It's like, fun to think, though.
It is fun to think, though, isn't it? Yeah, exactly.
I honestly think just Hamilton is a bit more rash than Nico Rosberg driving.
He doesn't look after the car as well.
No, he's a risk taker, definitely.
Yeah, he is. Like, if you see, like, against Max Verstappen, like, a few races ago, like, Verstappen is not going to care, like, who is behind him, because he's very young at this age and he has so much aggression coming into the game, so... The thing is, when Hamilton was trying to overtake him, it was so clear both of them were going really rash, because like, he just kept covering Hamilton from going ahead of him. So I think like Hamilton, if probably it's not a conspiracy, it's just like he's not taking care of his car.
I think that is one of the issues with Hamilton. While he's, in my mind, one of the best drivers on the grid, his on-the-edge driving does put his car, to test his car to the limit, and maybe this year his car has not been up to scratch with the type of driving he does.
Chasing 273, England actually collapsed from 100 for 0 to 164 all out, with Mehdi Hassan taking 6 for 77, and it was his second game ever, and to win that as a debutant Bangladeshi, it's a really great thing. Yeah, I honestly feel England's performance at the series was invaluably not so great because of their inexperience as a side. And even you could see the side actually did drop 4 catches, and their fielding was, and their batting lineup just collapsed. So basically, like, I think they should actually buckle up a lot for the India coming up series. The thing is, they're playing India next, and it's a 5-match series. If they do anything better than a 5-0 whitewash, I think they actually perform well.
It's a big claim to say that England will get whitewashed in the next series. But looking at the tests that they've just played in, you won't put it past India, especially as Avi said, have been in excellent form. Obviously, Alistair Cook said England's inexperience cost them. But do you think it's more than that? Do you think someone like Gary Ballance should be dropped, and it's a bit of incompetency by the selectors not dropping it out of form players?
Yes, I do think like there are a lot of players who can actually come in for test sides who have not been performing for England, like Joss Butler.
Well, as the chief exec of Women in Sport said, like if you want to have public funding for your sport, you really need to represent the public that you serve.
I believe it will advance the sport further. I think the really big eye-catching one is the concept that on boards there is an expectation or a desire to have at least 30% gender diversity. Funnily enough though, actually the best for diversity actually is British Athletics, which meets the gender diversity target at the moment. It's the only one of the major governing bodies to do so, whilst directors from the Black, Asian and minority ethnic communities are also there as well. So it's nice to see that sports England are kind of like taking this initiative to further progress minorities.
Did you say that was British Athletics?
Yeah, British Athletics.
And as you can see with results like we had in the Olympics in Rio, I mean, look at the sort of split between genders in terms of our success. It's almost like you couldn't pick a gender which, you know, did better. It goes to show that if you actually do maybe accomplish this diversity, then we can have a greater level of success in sort of more diverse areas.
This is URN Sport.